This is the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world. And while she looks so sad in photographs, I absolutely love her when she smiles. How many days in a year she woke up with hope, but she only found tears. And I can be so insincere, making her promises never for real. As long as she stands there waiting, wearing the holes in the soles of her shoes. How many days disappear when you look in the mirror? So how do your shoes? Your clothes never wear as well the next day.
This is a story of a girl, written by Batman McGee, read by Nicholas de Valance. I remember when my dad wasn't my dad. He was just Jared, the big guy that lived next door to me and my mom, the guy with the two big dogs and a bigger laugh, the guy who would always let me pet the big dogs because even though they were really big, they were really friendly too. Jared always smelled like coffee and candy, which was a bit weird to me because while I always saw him with candy, I never saw him drink any coffee. I also remember when my papa wasn't my papa. He was just Jensen, the shy guy that lived in the same house as Jared and the two big dogs. Jensen was always in neat clothes and dark sunglasses. He had what seemed like a never-ending cup of coffee in his hands at all times. And he smiled at me and my mom every morning when he sat on the front porch waiting for Jared and the big dogs to come back from their morning run. I remember the moment I figured out why Jared always smelled like coffee. It was a Sunday morning, early still, around 9 or so, and Jared was returning with the big dogs, who were actually named Sadie and Harley, just so you know, from their run. And, like usual, Jensen was sitting on the porch with his coffee cup and a little black thing with earplugs attached to it in his ears. I was sitting on the porch swing reading my newest favorite book, and I was stealing glances at Jensen when he wasn't paying attention. I had to steal them because my mother told me two things about Jensen. One, he gets pink in the cheeks when people look at him too long, and two, looking at him for too long was like looking at the sun. It'll hurt your eyes, he's so beautiful. I had no clue what that meant, other than I'd better avoid looking, lest I irritate both Jensen and my eyes. I heard Jared's sneakers hitting the pavement and the sounds of 8 paws worth of doggy claws clicking behind him. Jensen couldn't have heard because of the music player thingy he had stuck in his ears. I smiled at Jared when he passed me. He slowed down from a quick run as he approached his house and came to a stop in front of Jensen. Jensen removed the earplugs and stood to greet Jared. I expected a pat on the back or even a hug, considering I knew they were close, special friends and all, but I didn't expect them to kiss each other. On the lips, with their tongues. I was curious about why two boys would do that to one another when usually only girls and boys did it to one another. Mom later explained that they were homosexuals, which I could only assume meant that Jared had to have a special way of tasting coffee, by way of Jensen's tongue. I paid it no more attention and went on with my life. I also remember the moments that led to Jared becoming my dad and Jensen my papa. It's not a really happy memory, especially for this special of a day, but it all ended as well as possible. After I came to understand-ish that Jared and Jensen were really Jared and Jensen, I found it quite amusing to pretend they were my daddies, since I didn't really have one of my own. Well, I have a father, but a daddy? Nope. Not in the cards, my mom would say. The Jays, as I began to refer to them, would agree to take me when Mom had to work late on Saturday nights. Mom hated asking, because she knew how hard they work on their television show, the one I wasn't allowed to watch because it'll scare the bejesus out of you, baby girl, Jensen used to say. There was a particular Saturday when Mom didn't have to work, but she still set me up with a sleepover bag and a teddy. T-Bear, I would call him. And the Jays took me in. We played Twister until Jared got a cramp in his leg, because he's a big oaf. We ate candy and drank soda before we all finally crashed in the big bed upstairs, well past my bedtime. I was so excited because this wasn't like the other sleepovers I'd had with the Jays. No, Mom said I would get to stay the morning, too. So for breakfast, Jared promised waffles with strawberries and whipped cream. I was snug in between the Jays and with Harley and Sadie at the foot of the big bed. Jensen said that the bed was so big because Jared was huge, that if they had anything smaller, Jared would squish him in the middle of the night. Good thing the bed was as big as it was, because the dogs took loads of room, too. Luckily, they left enough room for T-Bear. I must have been asleep for a long time, because when I woke up, because Harley and Sadie were barking their heads off, I was in a puddle of my own spit, and that only happened when I slept for 5 hours at least. At least. Jensen was trying to shush the dogs, and Jared was untangling himself from the blanket that he'd wrapped around all of us to keep us warm, which, if you ask me, we didn't really need, because Jared was like an electric blanket all by himself. I saw Jensen tiptoe to the window to look out at what was driving the dogs bananas. He sucked in a breath and turned to Jared, looking really scared, more scared than I was when I snuck a look at the Jays television show. "Jared, call 911. Rachel's house is on fire," I heard him whisper. I don't know what 911 meant, but I knew what fire meant, and I knew I heard my mom's name. I sat up and scrambled off the bed to the window. My house was orange and red with flames, and dark, thick smoke was rushing out of the top of it. I could see my window from where I was, and everything was black and cracked. "Where's my mom?" I asked Jensen. He pulled me away from the window pretty fast and told me not to look. Jared returned a moment later and began putting his shoes on, just as Jensen was, too. "You stay with Jamie and I'll go see what's going on," Jared directed to Jensen, and I just sat on the bed wondering what all the rushing was about. Mommy was at work, right? I mean, she usually only left me with the Jays when she was at work, so she's okay, I'm sure of it. I said as much, and Jensen kneeled before me and hugged me tight to his chest. I patted his head and told him it would be okay because Mom has assurance on our house and we can buy new stuff now. I was just happy to have my favorite nightshirt and T-Bear. Jensen was wetting my shirt with his leaky eyes, and I just held him tighter because I didn't really know why he was crying, but I knew he needed a good strong hug. I heard the squealing, annoying sounds that the fireman makes when they brings the big truck, and I plugged my ears against the sounds. The bright lights from the fireman's truck flashed on the walls of the Jay's room, so I closed my eyes against that, too. And really, it was way past my bedtime, so you can't fault me for falling asleep again, even without the blanket known as Jared cuddling me. When I woke up again, it was light outside, and I was alone in the big bed upstairs, so I walked real quiet to the bottom of the stairs and saw Jensen and Jared hugging. Jared was shaking and pulling Jensen's shirt tight. I don't know why Jared was crying so hard, but I knew he needed my hugs too, so I squeezed between them and made myself comfortable. Jared's hand was rubbing my hair, making a huge tangle that Mom was not going to be happy about having to untangle. "How about those waffles, hm?" Jared suddenly broke free from Jensen and me and sped to the kitchen. I eyed Jensen and gave a shrug before following Jared. "Don't worry, Big Jared. Mama and me'll just buy new stuff. Mama said just the other day that the stove was screwy, so this is perfect timing." Jared turned his back to me and leaned against the counter and started shaking again. "Jensen, tell her," Jared had said. I remember his voice was so soft that I didn't think he said anything at all. Jensen sat next to me and took my hand in his and pretty much told the biggest lies of all lies in forever. "Jamie? Listen, baby girl." He paused a bit, cleared the froggers from his throat. "Your mama had you stay with us last night because she had a friend over. for a date, you know? Okay, cool. Mom deserved to kiss a boy. I knew that there was a boy from work that she said made her cheeks pink like Jensen's when I stared too long. The fire started with the stove, Jared continued from the kitchen sink where he was fiddling with the berries for our breakfast. I nodded. It figures. Mom said it was dangerous. She was going to ask her boss to give her some extra hours to get a new stove next payday. Jamie, your mom was home when the stove caught fire. What? I may just be a little kid, but was Jensen telling me what I thought he was telling me? Your mom, she didn't make it out of the house. The firemen and paramedics tried to get to her. Jared tried to go in, too. I don't remember what else Jensen said, but I knew it all meant my mom died in that fire because of the stupid stove. But no, Jensen was lying. He had to be. You're lying, I shouted. You're a lying liar who lies. I didn't care that Jared never made breakfast that morning, or that I knocked over the glass of juice that was on the table as I ran past it up the stairs to the big bed. I just remember crying for what seemed like days. After I found out that Jensen wasn't lying to me, and I stopped crying and refusing to eat, the Jays took me to get some new clothes and new girly junk, as Jared put it. The people from Kid Services called the Jays into a meeting, and I had to wear a fancy dress, and Jensen tried to braid my hair, which was an epic mess. After they came out of the room and into the bigger room, where I was sitting with an old lady who smelled like cats, they were both red-eyed and puffy in the face. A chubby man took me to a different room, and they asked me all kinds of questions about the Jays and how they treated me. I was honest. They were the best homosexuals I'd ever known, and made even better daddies. I asked the chubby man if I could stay with the Jays forever, since I know I don't have any other family, and since Sadie needed another girl in the house because all those boys were driving her nuts, I could tell. Later, when the Jays were finally allowed to take me home, they sat me down and we all had a serious talk. Well, as serious as it could be with Harley farting in the corner. The Jays said the Kid Services man is letting me stay with them. They signed some papers and are my official frosting parents, which was cool with me. I didn't know what a frosting parent was, but if it involved cake, please, then I was on board. The Jays said that since they work a lot, actually Jared said a shitload and Jensen hit his arm because cussing isn't allowed, that a nanny was going to be with me on weekdays when I'm in school. They said I could come out to set. I don't know where that city is in Canada, but I was excited to see it. On days when I don't have school, or if I really missed them. And we'd have family time on weekends. Jensen said that their boss gave them 5 days off work to get me settled, so we were going to get his mom and Jared's mom from the airport, because they were going to help us out. The moms, as I began calling Mrs. P and Mrs. A, helped get my bedroom arranged with pretty pink fluffy stuff, and they helped hire a nanny who we all liked. They helped get my papers for school changed, and then the Jays tried to get me on their medical insurance so that I could see a doctor when I needed, but the insurance was mean because the Jays were just partners, not husbands. The moms joked that they should just get married already, but somehow I don't think it was really a joke. The Jays took me to their job, which I learned was a television show set, not a city. You learn something new every day. I met the people that Jays worked with, and they introduced me to the girls who made Jensen even prettier. After a few days, the moms went back to Texas, and they promised to call and check in on us and make sure Jared and I weren't driving Jensen to drink. After all was said and done, I had 2 new dads, 4 new grandparents, and 1 less mom. All in all, it was an even trade, I'd say. That didn't mean I didn't miss my mom every single day. I still cried for her when I was sad or sick or mad at Jensen for not letting me have candy for breakfast or Jared for being mean to the first boy I had a crush on. My favorite memory was when I asked the Jays if I could call them Dad. Jared was sitting in the middle of the couch and Jensen was curled onto his side and I was lying down on the other side with my head on his leg. He had his hands in our hair, rubbing. Jensen hated when Jared did this because he was left to untangle my hair, but I loved it. It reminded me of my mom, and reminded me that Jared and Jensen were awesome to me like she was. I was sitting there thinking that I wished I could call them something other than their names because they introduced me as their daughter. I'd been with them for 2 years already, and they even stayed in Canada so I didn't have to leave my school, even though their show was over. I decided that I would just speak up and ask, because they'd always said I could talk to them about anything. Jared? Jensen? I sat up and looked at them with all the seriousness I could muster at 10 years old. "What is it, baby girl?" Jared asked me. "Can I call you guys Dad?" Jensen blinked a few times and just stared at me while Jared smiled bigger than I'd ever seen him smile. "You can call me Dad, Jamie. I'd love it," Jared approved, and hugged me to his huge chest. Jensen was still quiet on the other side, and his eyes were leaking. Because Jensen doesn't cry, he leaks, which is what he told me back when we all watched a chick flick that was super sad, and we all cried. "It's okay if you don't want me to, Jensen," I said, and snuggled into Jared more, trying not to let Jensen see me cry. I didn't realize that it would hurt so much for him to deny me this. Jared was rubbing my back and whispering words to me that I don't really remember, but he knew I was upset. "Jamie, look at me, sweetheart," Jensen had said, using his hand to raise my face to look at his. He was smiling so big, like Jared was. "You can't call me Dad, because that's what you're going to be calling Jared, so how about you call me Pop or something?" "How about Papa?" Jared suggested.
"Really, Jensen?"
"I don't have to, I mean, because you're crying. I won't if you don't want me to." I was so worried that he was going to go along with it because I wanted it. "Come here," Jensen said, and I scrambled from Jared's arms into Jensen's. "I'm crying because I'm happy. I want nothing more than for you to call me Papa." I smiled and hugged him tight.
"I love you guys. Thank you."
To this day, I don't know if I was thanking them for taking me in, or for loving me, or for letting me love them back, or for all of the above. I'm leaning towards all of the above. After a while, Dad and Papa decided they wanted to adopt me, make me theirs legally instead of being their foster kid. Not frosting kid, like I used to think. We did the paperwork, and the social services, not kid services, like I used to call them, people, came and talked to us again. The grandmothers and grandfathers, I started calling them Grandma and Grandpa somewhere along the lines of 13 years old, I think, were so happy for us finally becoming a family legally that they surprised us with a visit, and I couldn't have been happier when we all went to the courthouse and signed the papers, and know what? Since we're there, Dad and Papa decided to get the judge to perform a quick ceremony, and they married each other. Dad and Papa booked us a flight to Texas with the grandparents, and we stayed for a week worth of celebrating the marriage and adoption. Aunt Mac and Maggie took me shopping, and Uncle Jeff and Josh decided that they needed to teach me self-defense because you're almost 16, and you'll need to learn to fend off the boys. My dad spent some time away together while I was occupied with other family members. I missed them when they were away, for a whole 5 days, but I knew they needed their time apart from me, and I really didn't care to see them kissing and hugging every 2 minutes anyway. I mean, ew. Parents aren't allowed to do those kinds of things. Ever. I was just over 16 when what my uncles taught me came in handy. A boy, Eric Robinson was his stupid name, took me to the school dance, and he thought since he paid for the tickets that he was entitled to a kiss. Well, what he got instead was a right hook and left jab combo that resulted in a black eye and a bloody nose. I still remember vividly the look on Dad's face when I came home crying with blood on my dress that cost a whole damn $215. Dad looked like he was going to find Eric and chew him up and then spit him back out, only for Papa to stomp all over him. Eric, stupidly, came up to the house the following day to apologize, and when my dad saw his messed up face, they gave me a high five and kicked the boy out of the house and told him to get lost. 2 weeks later, my dad's took me to court and changed my last name from Davenport to Padalecki Ackles. Grandpa Ackles said that it took delivering a good ass whooping to earn the Padalecki Ackles name, and since I'd shown the little punk that he can't touch me, I'd more than earned the name. My dad's also changed their last names as well. We all shared the same surname, and it was the final step in cementing our family ties. I remember turning 18 and having a huge party in our new house in Los Angeles. Dad and Papa moved us just after I finished school, and I got papers to become a citizen of the United States. Coincidentally, my birthday was just 2 days before Dad's, so we had a big cookout with all of Dad's and Papa's show business friends and the grandparents, aunts, uncles, and kiddies. I'd had a huge crush on a boy from down the street, David, so Papa let me invite him. And I made him promise to make Dad behave and not try to kill David when he sat too close or smiled too big. Dad was such a meathead sometimes, but I still loved him. David gave me a kiss on the cheek when I thanked him for the beautiful gift he'd given me, and I swear I heard Dad growl. Papa put his hand on Dad's leg under the table, and I could see Dad relax. However, Papa couldn't control Uncle Christian's outburst. "Hey, you little shit, you get your hands off of my niece." I rolled my eyes and patted Chris's head and told him to back the hell off, and Papa laughed at him. David, rightfully so, was scared and moved to sit on the other side of the table. For the rest of the night, Chris kept glaring at David and I kept glaring at Papa and Dad. When all was said and done, Dad admitted to putting Chris up to behaving like an overprotective asshole so Dad didn't have to be the bad guy. That was the first time I gave Dad the silent treatment. It lasted 16 days. What? I'm stubborn. When I moped into Dad's study, when he was looking over a script he was considering, my dad's decided that now that I was out of school, they would get back into acting full-time, which I was totally okay with, because they'd put their lives on hold for me for far too long. And I sat next to him on the sofa. He put his arm around me and pulled me close, kissing my head. "Missed you, baby girl," he said in a way of apology. "Missed you more, Dad," I accepted. And all was well. That September, I started college. I was attending UCLA with the intention of heading to Western State College for law for 3 years, and a law degree after my 4 years were completed with a bachelor's in political science. I wanted to be a lawyer, and Dad couldn't have been more proud. Papa said that lawyers were bloodsuckers, and I punched him in the thigh. He pouted, and Dad rubbed his leg. Papa later admitted that he hoped I'd be a doctor so he could get free prescriptions when he was old and gray. "Older and more gray," Dad added, and Papa made Dad sleep on the couch that night, and then rubbed Dad's back after he woke up with kinks all in his muscles. In college, I discovered beer and keg stands and casual sex. I also discovered how painful the look of disappointment on Papa's face was when I came home drunk at 3 in the morning. Dad and I had a heart-to-heart, and I cried for hours. Papa wouldn't talk to me for 3 days before I finally begged his forgiveness. In my sophomore year of college, I met Gregory, who was a poli-sci major as well. He'd planned to head to Western like I had. I fell hard and fast for Greg, and come graduation time, he'd asked me to move in with him. Dad blew a gasket, and Papa calmed him down before crying. I moved out of Dad's and Papa's house just before my 22nd birthday, Dad's 41st. Greg and I had a nice little place off campus, and Dad made sure it had an alarm and locks and offered to get a guard dog. We declined. Papa offered to station Uncle Christian outside the door. We declined. Law school was tough, and Greg and I had our ups and downs. Dad, at one point, threatened bodily harm against Greg when I came home crying one night because the stress of the school got to me and Greg and I had a screaming match. Papa went to my house and talked to Greg, and Dad paced the living room and spilled insults about Greg that he later admitted he didn't mean a word of. Papa returned with Greg, and I broke down crying, asking his forgiveness because I knew it was all my fault. Papa hugged Greg afterwards for being a man enough to accept some of the blame, even though it was clear I freak out at him for no reason. 2 weeks later, Greg took me to a romantic dinner and proposed to me. Dad told me after I'd gone to lay down in my room upstairs the night of my epic meltdown that Greg asked for their blessing and they both agreed instantly. Papa said that Greg even called Uncle Christian later that morning and asked him as well. Greg and I graduated Western after our 3 years and we both managed to pass the bar exam on the first try. Dad said it's because I had his super-duper smart gene, and then I kindly reminded him that I had my mother's genes. I cried a bit, because at that moment I missed my mother more than I ever thought possible, but Papa said she was with me. We celebrated passing the bar exam at a small bar outside of Hollywood that Uncle Christian was playing at. I got completely drunk and Greg took me home, and we ended up naked on the back porch, which was where my dad's found us, the following afternoon when they came to check on us. I asked for the spare key back from them after that. They gave it back willingly. That's a side of Greg I never wanted to see, Dad had joked. Papa only said, I never realized Greg had such a hairy ass. Greg got a job in a law firm in Los Angeles, while I took a part-time job with a small firm specializing in gay rights and activism. Greg was bringing home the bacon, and I was fulfilling a 10-year quest to vindicate my dad's after they were subjected to homophobia for so long. The day that I realized I was a full-fledged adult was the day that I won a court case pertaining to custody of a minor child. The parents were two lesbians, and the court didn't want to grant them an adoption because they were gay. I fought for the mothers and won because I knew that the little girl was in excellent hands. After all, my two gay dads raised me, and I wasn't twisted by their homosexual, not homosexual like I used to call them, ways. I turned out just fine. When the women were finally granted custody of the little girl, I whooped in excitement and promptly cried until I was escorted out of the courtroom by the bailiff. My dads held me when I cried, telling them about my win. Papa said he was proud of me, and that he knew my mom would have been proud too. Dad cried and hid his face in Papa's neck so I wouldn't see. After the escrow on mine and Greg's house was closed and it was all set for us, my aunts and grandmothers and Greg's mom and sister came over and the wedding plans began. Greg hid from me and my dads laughed at him every time I whined that I needed his opinion, because no matter what his input was, I decided on something different anyway. We decided on a wedding in L.A., so Greg's family could be in attendance. The Padalecki and Ackles families were already used to visiting, and all agreed to make the trip in early November of my 27th year. 11/07/2028. I was to change my name once more, and when I signed the forms for the marriage license, Dad and Papa cried with me in the courthouse. Greg held me close and thanked me for taking his name. But first there was a party to be had. License and ballroom taken care of, the bridesmaids and groomsmen were selected, and a dress was picked out, a tux fitted. Rings purchased and colors chosen. Music was easy. Jason, Christian, and Steve would all perform, and Dad was forbidden from singing. But Papa was given the green light. Dad pouted, and I'm pretty sure Papa gave him a blowjob to cheer him up, but I refuse to admit it, because I cannot think of that. Again, you... Instead of a bachelorette party, I flew to Canada and visited my mother's grave and cried with my dad's. When I returned, Greg admitted that he had canceled his own party, and instead, he and his friends volunteered at a shelter for abused and abandoned women and children. Uncle Christian, upon hearing this, finally admitted that I had made the best choice with Greg. Papa called Christian a pussy, and I agreed. Greg got a firm handshake from Chris and a kiss from me. Greg and I parted ways until the ceremony. The next I would see him, I'd be walking down the aisle with my dad's on each side of me. I went with my dad's back to their home while Greg had gone to ours for the customary night apart before the wedding. My dad's and I stayed up as late as possible and ate candy and drank soda, and we finally fell asleep way past my bedtime, just like when I first spent the night with them. In the morning I was rushed away by my aunts Meggie and Mac for the day of beauty. The grandmothers were overseeing every final detail at the church and the ballroom. The grandfathers, dads, uncles, and my groom were bonding in the hotel room that was provided with the ballroom, and by bonding I assume they meant farting, drinking, gambling, and teasing each other. Now here it is, 30 minutes until I wed the man of my dreams, and I am in the bridal suite, dressed and ready to go. I'm looking across the hall into the room with an open door. My dads are in there, wrapped in an embrace. Dad is rubbing his hands down Papa's back, and Papa's returning the gesture. It's such an intimate gesture between them that I feel bad for intruding, but I call to them. They enter my suite, and Dad braces himself against the doorway. "You look absolutely stunning, baby girl," Dad said, his right hand over his heart and his left hand tangled with Papa's right. Papa nodded and stepped closer to me to kiss my forehead. "Most beautiful girl I ever laid eyes on." Papa winked and made a motion, asking for me to give a spin. I complied and sighed deeply before taking a seat in front of the makeup mirror. "So, let's hear it. I need to have enough time to reapply my face after you've both made me cry." I braced myself for the customary father-daughter speech I knew was coming. "All right, Miss Impatient. Your dad and I actually sat down and thought this out, because had we just decided to wing it, it would have turned out to be a mess, so here it goes," Papa began after looking at Dad with a smile and a wink. "After all these years, it still amazes me to see the amount of love they have for each other." Dad gave him a smile in return, and they looked at me. "We didn't think kids would be in our foreseeable future. And then suddenly we had you. And not a day has gone by that we haven't counted our blessings for being so wrong. We know your mom was a wonderful woman, and she would have loved to be here for you." Papa paused, and I wiped a stray tear from my eyes. "We know she's looking over you now, so proud and so amazed at the wonderful woman you've grown into, and the brilliant choice you've made with Greg. We both think he's perfect for you, and that you will both live very happily." Dad continued for Papa, who was nodding along. Dad paused and brought his hand to sweep some stray hair from my face. "The key to a successful relationship, baby girl," Dad began. He took his eyes away from mine and looked at Papa as if he'd hung the moon. "Is to always remember that your husband is God's gift. Also, never take him for granted, and try not to go to bed angry." I nodded dumbly and turned to my mirror to fix the mess I'd made with my tears. Papa and Dad went to the window, and out of the corner of my eye I could see Papa whispering to Dad before kissing his neck. Dad closed his eyes and smiled, pulling Papa closer and kissing his forehead. For the first time in my life with them, I didn't cringe at the thought of seeing my parents kissing. Instead, I felt peace. If Greg and I were at least 10% as happy as my dad's, I knew we would be together forever. "It's time," Grandma Ackles said from the doorway. I hadn't realized she was there, but when I looked at her, I could tell she witnessed the embrace between her son and son-in-law. I stood and went to her and accepted the hug she offered. "I'm going to be as happy as they are," I commented, looking at my dads, who were still holding each other, looking out the window.
"You should be so lucky." "Hell, I should be so lucky. But I think we're on our way."
She winked at me and cleared her throat, effectively getting my dad's attention.
"Is it time to go, Mama?"
Papa asked, walking across the room and holding his arm to me. Grandma nodded and turned to exit the room, leaving enough space for Dad to join me at my other side and offer his arm as well. Dad and Papa walked me down the aisle and gave me away with a kiss to each cheek. Greg and I exchanged vows we'd written for one another, and when he kissed me, I felt the earth move. Literally, there was an earthquake. The church shook and the guest clambered for cover, and I stood at the altar still kissing my husband. When the commotion was done and the earth was done moving, I looked out at the church and saw my dad sitting in the front row, holding hands, smiling at me. If the church came down around us, they were determined to stay by my side.
This is the story of a girl. A pretty face she hid from the world.